Well, I'm pleased to announce it's that time of the day when we get to speak to interesting people, and today we have an extra interesting person, Marilyn Cushell, who's, that's how I pronounce your last name, Marilyn?
That's right, yes.
And Marilyn's here in her capacity as the Garden Advisor for the National Trust, and in particular Beaumont House. Now, I've always been intrigued by Beaumont House. Could you tell us a little about the history of it?
I'd love to. Have you been there?
I have indeed.
Well, Beaumont House is really interesting because it's one of the remaining vestiges of colonial agricultural rural life in South Australia. It was first of all owned by Edmund Gleeson right in the very first days of the colony, and he ran it as a wheat and barley farm because they were trying to supply food for the early colonists right in the early days. But unfortunately, like many others, he couldn't make it pay and went bankrupt. Meanwhile, the Davenports family had arrived in South Australia in 1843, and they took up land, the three Davenport brothers, those people at Macclesfield. And those people who live in the Adelaide Hills will know that Macclesfield has a pub called the Three Brothers Arms, and that was the three Davenport brothers. And Samuel was the younger one. Anyway, they arrived in 1843 and started gardening and farming up at Macclesfield. But the really interesting thing about our friend Samuel Davenport, later to become the owner of Beaumont House, was that as a young man, as a very young man, he had jumped into an icy river in Oxfordshire and rescued someone from drowning, which he did. So that was the good news. But the bad news was that he caught probably pneumonia. He had some sort of lung infection. And the family doctor said to the Davenport seniors, you must send your boy to the south of France or he will die. He must recover. You know, in those days, prior to antibiotics, the only cure for that sort of cold and flu and bronchitis and pneumonia was going to a warmer, drier climate. So he went there to study horticulture in the south of France for 2 years, which really set him up for when they emigrated to South Australia, because he learned about growing olives and grapes and citrus fruit and peaches and apricots and lavender for the perfume industry, because that's based in Provence. And he also learned about growing mulberry trees for the silk industry, which was in the south of France. So when he arrived in South Australia, he wrote home to his father straight away, because that's what they did. The parents sent their sons out to be the colonists. They didn't come themselves. And he wrote to his father and said, you know, this Adelaide Plains reminds me of the south of France around Montpellier, where he had lived. He said, I don't think we'll bother with growing wheat and barley and oats like most of the colonists are trying to do, or cattle and sheep. He said, I'm going to try and grow almonds and grapes and olives. And that's what he did. And he got his father to get back in contact with his friends and colleagues back in the south of France to send out 10,000 olive seeds and truncheons of olive plants and vine cuttings and almond seeds. And that's what he experimented with and found that they did really well at Macclesfield. But after he'd been living in the colony for 3 years, the governor was impressed by this enterprising young man, well-educated and clever and innovative and experimental, and he asked him to become part of the Legislative Council. So for two or three days a month, he had to hop on his horse and ride to North Terrace and stable his horse and stay in a hotel or an inn while he did the business of the parliament for 3 or 4 days every month. And it was too expensive. So he decided to buy a property closer to town. And it just so happened that that's when Edmund Gleeson went bankrupt and Gleeville, which he later named Beaumont, became on the market, and Samuel Davenport bought it.
It's amazing how much serendipitous things.
I know, it's wonderful. But he couldn't really afford to buy it. He had to borrow money. So he immediately started carving up the 80 acres and leased out and sold off some of it in order to get the money. And the first person he leased the corner block between Dashwood Road and Glenburn Road was where Beaumont House is now, and he leased it to Augustus Short, the first Archbishop of Adelaide,
really?
Who had just arrived in the colony in 1846 too. So it was actually the home of the house. The original cottage was built for the Archbishop while they were waiting to build the Bishop's the Court and the Cathedral. And the reason that took so long, it took nearly 6 years, is because that coincided with the gold rushes in Victoria. And all the tradesmen, all the stonemasons and all the carpenters and all the other tradesmen scooted off to the gold fields. And so the Cathedral and Bishop's Court took a long time. So the Bishop was there and built the house. And then when he moved down to Bishop's Court in 1856... Samuel and his wife Margaret moved into Beaumont House and lived there for 50 years. And he ran it as a very successful vineyard and olive grove. And he also planted figs and almonds and pear trees and stone pines for the pine nuts. These are all plants that he'd been familiar with. And he planted a lot of lavender too, because he planted mulberry trees, because these are the things he knew about.
He knew.
And they did really well. And what's really interesting is that at Beaumont House today, we've still got the olive grove heritage listed, and we've still got vines, and we've still got big stone pines, and the 160-year-old pear and fig trees are still in the garden. So when the garden's open...
Are they still fruiting?
And they're still fruiting.
They're still fruiting, wow.
They are. And probably the pear trees are probably the biggest and oldest pear trees in South Australia.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they were planted in the early 1850s because Samuel Davenport was very friendly with the Bishop, and he was living in the Gleeville House, which was just down the road, half a mile down the road. And he used to go up and he gave the Bishop these fruit trees to plant in the garden, because he knew that he'd be living there after the Bishop moved
course,
out,
yeah.
You see. So it's a really interesting property. Now it's only 3 acres left, but the olive grove is still there, and we're in the process of rejuvenating it. The olive trees have been really big and old, and so we're brutally cutting them down. A lot of the local residents are a bit upset about that, but it's the only way to get them back into health and good production. So last year, last May, June, we had our first olive harvest in 60 years.
Wow.
And we produced 40 litres of olive oil. So we're pretty excited about that, and we hopefully next year will produce more.
So in your capacity as advisor in the garden, what mm-hmm. does that involve?
Oh, well, it means...
Cut down the olive trees and
Yes, but we did get experts in from the South Australian Olive Association to advise us how best to do that. But I coordinate a group of volunteers. I've got about 18 people who come along on a regular basis on Wednesday mornings to work in the garden.
Oh, really?
And we've got the garden looking really beautiful now. It's used a lot for weddings. It's booked out most weekends between September and May for weddings or other parties.
It must be very satisfying to actually regenerate a garden of that historical importance.
And it's really good to tell people about it. And the fact that it's still here, you know, in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. Back in those days, of course, they thought it was sort of country because it was a long way from the city. But it is one of the remaining early rural properties, and I think the fact that the olive groves, and there's a lot of other olive trees around the Burnside area,
yes,
which were part of Davenport's land. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Really?
Over the years, Davenport himself sold off more land, and then they had no children, so he left it to one of his nephews who kept the olive factory going. In fact, and George Fullerton Cleland, who was his wife's, Margaret, was a Cleland. And so his nephew, the Fullerton Clelands, continued the olive oil factory right up until the 1960s when it closed. So it was still producing Davenport olive oil.
And so the olive oil that you produced this last year, that was for sale, or did
you just
look at it and
it was only 40 litres, so we put them in little bottles, so we only had about 150 bottles for sale.
Okay.
But we sold it, and it was a very nice oil, so we're hoping that we'll be able to do that.
Well, that's exciting.
And, it is exciting, and it's really interesting to be part of telling school children and other groups. I take a lot of tours through there, about this. And it's interesting because there are a lot of people in Adelaide, and particularly living in those eastern suburbs, who remember actually as children picking olives and taking them up to the factory and getting paid,
a
penny a bucket for picking the olives in the season because of the olive trees all around.
So Beaumont House itself, is it open to the public on...
Only on these special days.
Okay.
And so our open garden day is Sunday the 23rd of September from 10 o'clock to 4:30.
Right.
And
only a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So we're frantically just doing the last tidy up, but it's looking wonderful. We have wisteria draping over the verandas of the house, and that's always in full bloom at the end of September, so that will be looking beautiful. And there's a really interesting shrub, quite a rare plant, called Wigandia that comes from South America. One of the other interesting things about Samuel is that he was great friends with the early directors of the Botanic Gardens.
That would have been a good friendship.
Because he was interested in plants, and he was on the board of the Botanic Gardens, and he was on the Royal Agricultural and Horticultural Society Committee board to set up that. And he really encouraged the other colonists to try different plants. And so, along with the Botanic Gardens directors and board, you know, they were trying to help other South Australian colonists grow plants that would do well in our Mediterranean climate. And so he was considered to be, you know, one of the experts at that time.
Well, it certainly sounds as though he was very innovative.
He
would have been looked upon with people going, oh, goodness me.
Yeah, well, he was knighted for his services to the Parliament and to agricultural and horticulture.
Okay.
He became Sir Samuel Davenport because of his very great service to the community. So we're very proud of Samuel Davenport.
And you've got something else you wanted to tell us, something exciting.
Yes, well, this is exciting. I think so. We are hosting, Beaumont House is hosting, the Australian Marmalade Festival on Sunday the 7th of October. So that's 2 weeks after the open garden. So if you can't make it to the open garden, come along to the Marmalade Festival, because the garden will still be looking fantastic. But Jane Hazel McCosh, who belongs to Dalmain Estate in the UK, where they host the World Marmalade Championships, has got a really interesting connection to the National Trust in South Australia, because family members were related to the Bowmans of Martindale Hall. So there was this really lovely, interesting connection. And so she's been out to Australia a number of times. And last year we had the first Australian Marmalade Festival.
And so do people from all over Australia enter?
They do.
They do,
and
really.
You can, anybody out there can enter marmalade. I've made some this year and I've entered it.
You're not one of the judges, I hope.
No. This Jane Hazel McCosh is a judge, along with some other women from the CWA here in South Australia. And some professional cooks like Alison Reynolds, the heritage cook. And so there's lots of different categories, and anybody out there who'd like to get an entry in can have got until the 21st of September. So they've got another week to get entries in up
and
in
there,
Beaumont
House. And is
there
a website for Beaumont House?
Yeah, it's part of the National Trust website.
Okay, so you can either just look up National Trust or look up Beaumont House.
Is there a phone number or anything? Yes, there is definitely a phone number, which I'm sure I've got here. 8202 9200. Or you can look up the National Trust website for details about the Marmalade Festival. But even if you're just interested in all things about citrus and marmalade, then you can come along and see and taste some marmalade on the 7th of October. And yes, it was very popular last year, and we expect it to be again this year. So,
well, you do exciting things. Every time you come in, it's something really...
Interesting
in that you're really passionate about, and that's a really good thing.
Mm. Well, I love history, and I love the history of South Australia, and I do think we are a special state, and our history is worth preserving. And I encourage other people to join the National Trust, because there's about 100 branches in South... Well, there's over 100 heritage properties, National Trust properties in South Australia. And there's branches in nearly all of the country towns or main regional centres. And there's always interesting things to do and lots of opportunities for volunteers. So,
well, that's good information too. Well, thank you, Marilyn, for your one for your passion and two for the really interesting story about Beaumont House and the pear. I'm fascinated by the pear tree. I'd have to go and have a look at it.
Please. And on our Open Garden Day, it will be in full bloom, just for you.
Well, we've been talking to Marilyn Kulshu, who's an advisor on the garden of Beaumont House, connected with the National Trust. So thank you very much, Marilyn, for coming in.